Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
When's the last time you just went out at night and watched the stars in the sky?
Last night.
Last night? Yeah, clear sky, they say, in the next couple days. I'm amazed at all that God has done and just in creation. And this morning we're going to be starting a new series called Searching for Sunday. I was kind of intrigued by a book called by that name, Searching for Sunday. It's written by a lady, probably in her 30s. Grew up in the church, and I referred to it a little bit in the newsletter, if you got the newsletter this week. But she grew up in the church, and her father was a Bible college professor. I think it was a Southern Baptist denomination. And so she knows her church stuff. She knows all her facts. She knows what the Bible has to say. And yet, when she got into adult life, she left the church because there was things about church that she didn't understand why she felt like she had to check her brain at the door when she came to church, or that science and scripture couldn't come together, complement one another, instead of sometimes they are cited against each other. There was questions that she had, politics, how politics, whether in the church or just with outside the church, but the church seems so entangled in that. And for the younger generation, that is something that is not attractive to them. And so she was wrestling through all these things. I think she's back in the church now. But she kind of shares some of the things that became important to her. And some of the things that became important in her relationship with God were some of the things that we do that are very touchy-feely. And by that I mean communion or even just coming to church on Sunday. Some of those traditions, water baptism. Okay, we got Pamela here and Linda. They were baptized in cool water on this last Sunday. And so they came up praising God and jumping and raising their hands. And so they braved it. So I had to get in the water, but they had to go under. So if you haven't had a chance to meet Pamela or some of them, I encourage you to do that. But some of those, some churches call them sacraments or things that we observe within the church became important to her because it allowed her to connect in a tangible way with her relationship with God. And so this morning I want us to, as we look at this series on Searching for Sunday, you know, why is there this thing called a Sabbath or a Sunday? And the reason for the different terms, I'm just going to give a little background. When you had the Jewish faith, the Israelites, in the Old Testament, it was called the Sabbath. Okay, and what day was the Sabbath on? It was on Saturday. It began on Friday night at sunset and went till Saturday at sunset. That was the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, they weren't supposed to work. There were certain things they could do and certain things that they couldn't do. Probably more things that they couldn't do than they could do. But it was supposed to be a day of worship where they would stop from their normal activities, they would worship God, and be with their families. Sunday then became a day of worship for Christians because why? Because of the resurrection. And so after Christ and his resurrection, Sunday became the day that Christians in church tradition began to see as their day of worship. Okay? And the New Testament builds the case that necessarily it's not so much the day, so like Sunday. In our tradition, Sunday has been set aside as a day that is kind of set aside for worship. Most of our churches worship on Sunday. All right? But Paul builds the case that probably in the Roman world that wasn't the case. So they would meet on evenings. They would meet on certain days to worship. All right? So why is there this Sabbath day or Sunday for Christians? Isn't life busy enough without adding one more thing of going to church, right? Isn't life busy enough? There's activities, there's things to do. I believe in God. Isn't that enough? I'm a good person. Why should I take the time to go to church? And that is a question that a lot of millennials, okay, Melissa is a millennial, right? And then you even have your Generation X that is probably in their early 30s. The question that a lot of that generation ask is, you know what, I believe in God, but why do I need the church? And maybe maybe we can answer some of those questions this morning. I think those are really relevant questions. Now, if you notice, as we talked about that the song here that we began with, Stars by Skillet, just the stars, you put the stars in place. But do you know that our world has a rhythm to it, doesn't it? It has a rhythm. It has a sequence. It's organized. You'd think there was an engineer someplace that put it all together, right? We have night and day. We have four seasons, and they repeat each, you know. So now we're kind of getting ready for fall. And guess what? A year from now, it's going to happen all over again, right? There's these seasons, these sequences that are put in place. There's 52 weeks in a year. You know, why do we come up with a week, you know? But that is, it is something that was established at the beginning of creation. And throughout time, there's been that sequence still held in place where you have 6 days and then you have the seventh day and you repeat it all over again. Why these systems? Why this organization? Why didn't God just make day, no night, right? Like living in Alaska, right? Okay? When I lived up there with my folks, it was great. You could work and then you could go fishing at night and fish until like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. It was still light out. And your body thought, hey, this is all right. And why not just night, day all the time? I mean, the nighttime, we had that up in Alaska too. That's kind of weird. You just want to go to bed, all right? But you have this sequence. Why do we have this starting over on the seventh day? Why is there phases of the moon, right? I think it's getting close to full moon, or did it already happen? We're right now? Yeah. I was noticing it. Why all that? You know, even if you go to the equator, okay, down in the Caribbean on the equator, even there you have seasons. You don't necessarily have winter, fall, spring, and summer. You have wet and dry, okay? All right, but they do have seasons. Their days pretty much go from six to six. It's just kind of interesting. But there's these cycles. Even as human beings, we have cycles, don't we? Right? Cycles, rhythms, seasons to our how we live. And to me, one of the biggest arguments for creation that there's a God up there is just how organized that our world is. To think that it came out of chaos or just happened, to me, I think takes a lot more faith than to believe that there was an intelligent, all-creating God that put things in motion and created these cycles, these rhythms. And so why do we have a Sabbath, or why do we have that Sunday? I want us to go to Scripture and look at God's heart in all this and what Scripture has to say, because I believe it can help us understand this a little bit better. So we're going to look at a couple different passages, but I want us to begin in Genesis chapter 2:2-3, and just look at the creation story just for a moment. And I want us to begin with a word of prayer, just as we come into God's Word. I think that's always a good thing to do. As you sit down to read God's Word, your devotional time or whatever, that you just say, God, take your Word and apply it to my heart, okay? It is not just a literature book, something that we're reading. It is God's Word, and we need His help to apply it, understand it in our lives. Father, this morning we just invite your presence here. We just pray that you'd make your Word come alive to us. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, and it is able to come into our hearts to speak to us, to guide us. And Father, we're influenced by a lot of different things in our culture and our world, but Father, if there's anything we want to be influenced by, it's by your Word. And so, Father, I pray you'd come and speak your life into us this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 2, verses 2-3. It says, so that we have the creation story. God's created all the different things on the 6 days, including mankind. All right? And then he comes to chapter 2, and he says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. And by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, who rested? God rested. He pulled up his lazy boy recliner, his iced tea with lemon in it. Maybe he had football back then too, I don't know. But he rested from creating all that he had done. Now, do you think God needed a rest? Yeah? Creation's pretty hard work, isn't it? Have you ever tried it? It's pretty hard work. But it says that God rested. And I think, I don't know if God so much needed a rest that day. Maybe he did. But I think God began to put something in place and in motion that was beyond him. It had to more do with a reason for purpose for us. And as you weave your way through the Old Testament, you'll see that the fourth of the Ten Commandments, okay, not the fourth of them, but the fourth one, is to keep the Sabbath day holy. So I want us to read that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15. It's one of the Ten Commandments, so you should know it by heart, right? Okay. It says in verse 12 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you are to labor, you are to work and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, not even your ox or donkey, okay? Or your livestock. And the sojourner who is within your gates with the male servant and the female servant as well. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. For therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Now I don't see this as a threat. I see it as instruction that God has given to his people, because they didn't have anything to go upon. And God says, I want you to keep this day as sacred, as holy, because it's going to recognize a couple different things. It's going to, first of all, recognize that God is who? He's their deliverer, right? The one that brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, all right? He is the one that brought them out, and so God is saying, recognize me and remember me on this day. It's an honor to me as you take this day. But as you progress through the Old Testament, you see that the Sabbath day becomes more of a day of do's and don'ts instead of a day to worship God. Okay? Do's and don'ts. And then Jesus comes on the scene and just creates havoc. You say, really? Yeah, he did. Especially with the religious people. Isn't that kind of, that's the part that always gets me. It was the religious people that he usually had issues with. And so you go to Mark chapter 2, 23 through 28. We're going to do a little groundwork and then we'll get into our points here. But Jesus and his disciples are going from point A to point B. And as they are going from point A to point B, they are having some fast food. On the Sabbath day, he was going through the grain fields. You ever done that? Just kind of running your hands through the grain? And as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. They needed a snack, right? They were hungry. They missed a meal. And the Pharisees saw what they were doing and says, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath day? Because technically you weren't supposed to, what, harvest on the Sabbath day. That was work. And so they saw what the disciples were doing, considered that they were working because they were taking grain out of the field and eating it. Jesus says, have you never read the story of David when he was in need and he was hungry and those who were with him, how they entered the house of God on the Sabbath in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence? They weren't supposed to do that. Which was not lawful for any of the priests, anybody but the priest to eat. And so he gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for who? Man. Not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And here Jesus was showing the difference between harvesting grain on the Sabbath compared to having a little snack along the road, right? There was a difference. And they had become so legalistic about it that to take some handfuls of grain as they were going down the road was unlawful for them on the Sabbath day. They had become so entrenched in what legalism was and what they could and they couldn't do. They would follow those things, but yet their heart was far away from God. You catching the picture? They were doing all these do's and don'ts, but their heart was far away from God. And what Jesus points out here is the Sabbath day was created for who? For man. For you and I. It wasn't created for God so that he could say, aha, I'm going to hold those humans to a routine, right? I'm going to make sure that they follow the Sabbath day. And if they don't, I'm going to send down lightning from heaven and whoosh, barbecue them, right? That's not God. What God was saying. He was saying that the Sabbath was meant for man. So I want to pull some points out of this. And you can write down the points here on your program in the back second side there. Why the Sabbath day? I believe that God made it for us. It is God's gift to us. Why? First of all, it is a, you may laugh at this, but it's your regular date night with God. All right? It's a regular date night with God. Now, if you're married and you went to that stage of having kids, maybe it's done, or maybe you're in the middle of it, or maybe it's about to happen, you will understand the significance of having a date night, because once the kids start coming, it is hard to find time. It's kind of like, what just happened? Okay? You get caught up in all the busyness. It's not bad, but there's diapers to change, and you know what? Then you have to get a babysitter, right? And that takes money, and sometimes it's just easier to do nothing. But in the process of doing that, if you don't have that date night, your relationship between a husband and wife can suffer. And so being intentional about having a date night is one way you can be intentional about just being together. Life is hectic. Trying to get everybody's schedules in can really be a nightmare. And Amy and I are kind of entering into a busy season. And I mentioned to her, I said, what? We need to start scheduling a date night. And she goes, yeah, right. Because sometimes it's hard to really fit that time in. You know what? I feel like that is the intention with God. That our lives are so busy. And now, you know, it used to be that Sunday was a day that our society took a break. Okay? And it was weird. I went to the Bahamas to teach like 4 years ago, and on this tiny little island called Exuma. Okay, they have it's a hangout for people that like to sail. Okay, they have the sailboats, yachts that they'll take down there, and a church was started by a Christian businessman that was down there. But it's kind of a hangout because it's protected there from the ocean, and it's kind of a protected little niche there. But it was weird going down there to teach because on Sunday, the island basically shut down. Okay, if you didn't have gas in your car, you were stuck. All right, because the gas stations didn't open up back up until Monday morning. All right, if you wanted to go to the grocery store, too bad. You needed to get it on Saturday, and that's the way it used to be growing up. How many remember those days? Okay. That was the case. And so if you wanted something for Sunday, you went to the grocery store on Saturday or you know, you went and filled up your car with because things were not open on Sunday. But our culture and our society has changed that now not only are the stores, they're open 24/7 now, right? And we like that convenience. We like the fact of all those things happening, but now even sport activities, they're happening right now, right? Because they can't find any other time, so they say, oh, you know what, we got Sunday afternoons, or sometimes even Sunday mornings, we're going to schedule stuff to be at. And so now, as a believer in Christ, if you want to be intentional about having a Sabbath day, it becomes more difficult because society is not taking that pause, that break, to recognize the Sabbath day. And, you know, other cultures around the world would be the same way. But America was unique in those early days in that we incorporated Christian values and traditions into the fabric of this culture. There was a day, I think you could describe America as a Christian nation or a Christian culture. I think those days are past. That doesn't mean that the end is coming or anything like that. It's just the fact that our culture has changed. Now, life is hectic. So Sunday or the Sabbath day is, it can be a regular date night with God. In other words, it is a time you can take a break from your activities to spend time with God, with your family, to be take time to read your scripture, to worship together, to fellowship, to have a meal together. That is where we are coming together to hear from God. Now, there always will be bills to pay, the activity, grass to cut. You know, for some people, the Sunday is what? Their day to get caught up, right? Okay, and if you take a drive through Crete, you're going to see that. That doesn't mean that they are necessarily going to hell, okay? If you know, don't go roll down your window and say, "Hey, I know where you're going." Okay? You're going to church with me next Sunday. All right. You know, there's always going to be things to do. But the Sabbath day, I believe that God is saying, you know what? Hey, it is my time to meet with you. It is that time where you can meet with your Savior, your Lord, the one who's forgiven us of your sins. And see, for Israel, that was a reminder that it was God that had brought them out of Egypt, right? He was their deliverer. He had brought them out of slavery, out of bondage. And as they would gather on the Sabbath day, it was a testimony. It was a way that they would honor, say, God, you are my deliverer. You are my Savior. You're the one that brought us out of that bondage. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 says, God says, "Moreover, I gave them the Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." God had redeemed them and sanctified them. You know, when you take time to come to church, I hope you're not doing it for me. I hope you are doing it so that you can come and meet with God and hear His voice, hear Him speaking to you. Because I know if you've been in a marriage relationship, if you don't take time to go on those walks, to do those dates, to be together, you are going to drift apart. And it amazed me the number of divorces that happen after the kids leave the house, right? Why? Because the husband and wife, they're caught up in all the kids' activities, and they stay together for the kids, and the kids leave, and all of a sudden, there's no relationship there. And so they stay together until the kids leave the house, and then they go their separate ways. Because in the process and the busyness of life, they grew apart. And that happens in the church world too. We get so caught up in the busyness of life, and if we don't have that time alone with God, Sunday, that Sabbath day, God becomes on the periphery of our life, but He's not at the center of our life. And that relationship dries up. It isn't what it used to be. And as we participate in the Sabbath day, it's a reminder that it was God that brought us out of bondage, out of our sin, who forgave us of our sin, who sanctified us, forgiven us. He's our Lord and our Savior. Amen? God made the Sabbath for you. Secondly, it declares that you are different from the rest of the world. So you can turn to your neighbor or to your spouse and say, "You are different." Okay? Okay? Now, some of you already knew that already, right? You are different. All right? It declares that you are different from the rest of the world. For the Israelites, they lived in a culture, in a world where people didn't take a break on Sunday. They just kept on working, all right? It was like the Sabbath day was just an ordinary day for them, much like America is moving towards. We're not quite to that place. But when you break for Sunday to go to church, hang out with God, hang out with your friends, have a family feast, a meal. You get out of bed from college life. You get out of bed, right? Okay? How many of them are still sleeping this morning in college world, right? A lot of them. But you are showing that you are different from the rest of the world. You're testifying, you know what? I believe in God. And so without saying a word, you are testifying to the rest of the world that you are different, that there's something about your relationship with God that is different from the rest of the world, without saying a word. The rest of the world is caught up in work, 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 but sometimes it's activities, 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 too. It's not all work. Sometimes it's just busyness. We're caught up with that, and our life is consumed. And we're communicating to the rest of the world that there is no hope in our life. There is no God. You know, I don't think I've done a lot of funerals, and I've been there at the bedside of people that are ready to leave this world. And I've never heard anybody say, "I wish I would have worked more." Work's a good thing, but I've never heard anybody say, "I wish I would have worked more." I've heard people said they wish they would accomplish more. They wish they could have done more. What I have heard is, "I wish I'd have spent more time with family or friends, relationships, and maybe even the relationship with God," because some people get to that place in life and they don't have anything to show for their relationship with God. Hopefully they're right with God before they go into eternity, but as far as just knowing God, and a lot of people push that off until it's too late. And see, the Sabbath was not intended to be a burden. Rather, it was intended to be a joy for God's people. So Amber read that passage from Isaiah 58. I want to go back to verses 13 through 14. God has given them instructions because the Sabbath to them was a burden. It was another rule that they had to follow, another rule they had to do. And God says, you know what, if it's going to be that, don't even show up. At least, you know, and for within the Christian world, sometimes what I appreciate about non-believers and sinners is that at least they're honest with you, okay? If they don't want to come to church because they don't feel like it, at least they tell you, okay? All right? Christians sometimes we get caught up in that legalism trap. But this is what he says. If you turn your back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on the holy day. So it wasn't even so much work, but they were just doing what they wanted to do on the Sabbath, okay? It become maybe kind of a party day instead of a day that they would worship God. And call my Sabbath a delight. He says, if you start doing that, guess what? I'm going to give you back your joy. I'm going to give you back your excitement about my relationship with you. But we have to reverse of how we see the Sabbath. We can't see it as a burden, but we have to see it as a delight, something that we get to do. Now, I know I'm going back in time a little bit and showing my age, but how many of you grew up in the days of Little House on the Prairie? Okay, how many know I have no idea what Little House on the Prairie is? Okay, a few of you. All right, but you know, in those days with Little House on the Prairie, what'd they do on Sunday? They all went to church. And there was only one church in town, right? Isn't that cool? Just one church, and they all went to church. They'd hang out, and a lot of times they would have a meal afterwards. They'd have fellowship. It was just kind of a family day. But people took a break from work and came to church. And, you know, that was even cool just to see that lived out, as that it was a value woven into the fabric of our culture at that point. But those days are gone, right? In America, that they're gone. They looked forward to dressing up. It was a special day. That's why they dressed up, right? They worked all week. And on Sunday, you dressed up because it was a special day, all right? And now we've kind of flip-flopped. People dress up all week, and so they want to go casual. It's kind of like, I don't know if it really matters to God. I think what matters is that we see this time with God as important, not a burden, but a delight. And so if you observe the Sabbath day, and you know what? For some people, you're here on a Sunday, but sometimes people work on a Sunday, right? If you work on Sunday, guess what? You need to find a day that you're not working. If it's Saturday, if it's Monday, we're going to get into why, okay? So, the Sabbath day, why? Because it's your date night with God. You can put whatever else in there. If that doesn't apply to you, it's your date with God, okay? Number two, it declares that you're different from the rest of the world. So without doing a thing, you are declaring, you are witnessing to the world around you that there's something different about you. And not just because you have a funny face or you look funny, okay? But you're different in the way that you, God is part of your life. And I think, you know what? There must be something to this God thing, because instead of sleeping in, instead of doing whatever they want to do, they're going to church. I wonder why that is. And so without saying a word, you are communicating the importance of God in your life to the rest of the world. The third thing is that it's good for your body, mind, and soul. Did you know that? Studies have shown, research has been done, they've actually done it on workers, that if they work 7 days compared to working 6 days and resting on the seventh day, guess who gets the most work done? The ones that work 6 days. Isn't that amazing? There's that system and that rhythm that I don't know if I can explain other than that God put that in there, that we need a day to recharge, to refresh our body, soul, and mind, and to meet with God. So there's the spiritual dynamic of it that, you know what, if I want my soul to be alive and not dead, if I want God to be speaking to me, I need that time to meet with God, to worship together. And especially if I've had a terrible week and I feel like, man, I have to roll myself out of bed and maybe my spouse has to drag me to church. But in that time, all of a sudden the worship music starts and I get to say hi to a few people, and it's kind of like, oh, I'm finally glad that I'm here. But it maybe took me a while, right? It's like, I don't know, I saw on YouTube this commercial of the husband making coffee for his wife, and his wife comes into the kitchen. She's like a zombie, okay? All right? What's that show you like, Karen? The Walking Dead. Yeah, so it's like a lady coming out of The Walking Dead, you know, and the guys hurry up and trying to make the coffee, you know, and he gets it to her, and all of a sudden she comes back to life because she has her cup of coffee, okay? And for some of you, going to church maybe is a little bit like that. It takes a while for you to get in the doors and to see people, and it's kind of like, oh, I'm glad I'm here, okay? But it's here that God can meet with us, and we can be a blessing to each other. And I don't want to underplay that part, because we encourage one another. We lift each other up. And that is important within the body of Christ. God has not called us to live our lives separate, but he's called us to live as a community. So it is good for your body, soul, and mind, and research will back that up. We are not in a sprint, are we? We are in a marathon. The Christian race is a marathon. And people that work and don't even take a day of rest, whether they're Christians or not, it catches up with you. It catches up with your body if you work and don't take that break. Our bodies, our minds are not made just to go 24/7. They need that time to reset, if you want to call that. You know, we have the reset button on our computer or our phone, or we reset and start over again. You need that day more than you realize. God did not create the Sabbath for himself. He created it for you. Can you survive without a Sabbath rest? Probably, for a while. One day they'll come into your bedroom and find you just there, dead, okay? If you don't, no. But I believe it catches up with you, folks. That's just not on a spiritual, that's just on a regular biological level. If you don't take time to rest and recharge, it catches up with you. So why a Sabbath day? Well, it's your regular date with God. It's where you're just saying, I'm going to be intentional. Life is busy, life is hectic, but I'm going to set aside that day where I can go and meet with God. And meet with my family, my friends, that we're going to go together. Number two, it declares that you're different from the rest of the world. It's a way that we testify to that we have a relationship with God and that we love him. He's our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And it's good for our body, our soul, and our mind. And you know what? Some of the biggest people that have the most difficult time with taking a Sabbath day, they're the biggest Sabbath breakers, or guess who they are? Who? Pastors. Yeah. We're some of the worst people. But I think we've all been guilty of doing that. And it's not a matter. See, when I grew up, this is what Sabbath looked like, Sunday looked like. We would go to church in the morning. We were always, church was kind of like in our backyard. We just had to walk through our back, out our back door, less than 25, 30 yards. And we were at church, all right? Man, we just had it easy. Couldn't get out of, you know, so because of that, I had to shovel the sidewalks and do all that type of stuff. But we went to church. And then usually after church, we did what? We had people over. We had a meal. Usually we had somebody over. Not always, but a lot of Sundays we had people over. And then if it was football season, I suppose we watched the Vikings play. If not, we took a nap. Okay, taking a nap on Sunday was an important thing, right? We had to take that nap. And then it was before church, we had Sunday night church at that point. So we had Sunday night church usually at 7. But before that, at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. We had to get that in. And then we would go to church. All right? And that's what our Sunday looked like. If I wanted to go hunting or fishing, hang out with friends, it was a lot of that was not allowed because it was that there was a lot of legalism in the church at that point. Some of it was good, some of it not so good. But in the process, what was lost is that Sunday was this legalistic thing rather than about my relationship with God. Does that make sense? The joy, the relationship with God part, that was lost in the rules of what I could and couldn't do. And the Sabbath wasn't intended to be about rules. It was intended to be about our relationship with God and being with Him. Does that make sense? The Sabbath day. I'm going to have the musicians come. I don't know where you are at in all this. But I believe with all my heart that God loves each and every one of us. And the way He designed us, the way He designed our worlds, there is the need that we need that day set aside, not only for our body, our soul, and mind, but also just to meet with God. When the church first started off here for Radiant Springs Church, what day of the week did we meet on?
Saturday
nights. And it was just weird. It was weird because then we had Sunday and it was kind of like, whoa. It was like, was I breaking the law or something? It was just weird. It was some things I liked about it, some things I didn't. It was different. There's something special of gathering together as the body of Christ. We recognize Him. We meet with God. God works in our heart. I think He refreshes us in ways that sometimes we don't understand until later. And sometimes we need it more than we sometimes realize. We need to be with Him. Amen? Would you stand this morning? I want to close us in prayer. Maybe even for some of you, God's calling you back. You're not here by accident this morning. God's just been speaking to your heart and life. And maybe your experience with church and with God just didn't do much for you. You believe in God, but just haven't really seen the need to be part of church. I don't know, maybe hopefully I've shared some reasons why there's the need for a Sunday, for a Sabbath, time to be with God. I want to lead us in a prayer, though, just of inviting Christ in our heart and our life. Maybe there's somebody here that you've never prayed that prayer, and you want to know that your sins are forgiven, and that if you were to die today, that you're going to heaven. You have a hope, you have a future. To know that the slate's been wiped clean. So I would like to lead us in a prayer of salvation. I believe if you mean that with your heart, I mean, if you're just praying the prayer, I don't know if there's much power in it, but if it's yours, if you make it your prayer to God, I believe that He hears that prayer. And begin that journey of walking with Him and knowing Him as your Lord and your Savior. Would you just join me in that prayer this morning, saying, "Dear God, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for going to the cross. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me on this journey of life." Let me pray. I'm going to close with that song, "How He Loves." And I think this is a powerful song. I think many times we think we're the ones searching for God, and I think we are. But to understand that God's been seeking for us. I mean, reverse it. God cares about you so much that he says, "Hey, humans, I want you to mark it on your calendar. Sunday, 10 o'clock, you and I, we're meeting." See, God cares about you that much that he wants to spend time with you. We look at it from our perspective, right? We spend time with God. But God loves you so much that he says, "You know what? I want to meet with those humans." Why? I don't know. But he cares about us that much that he wants to spend time with you. He's pretty important, right? He loves you that much. Do this with an everlasting love. And one of the ways that you've communicated to that us is through the Sabbath. Our relationship with you is so important that you wanted to set aside a day specifically to be with us. And Father, this morning, I don't know what our perception of Sunday and Sabbath were before we stepped into this place this morning, but I pray that you would take the words that were spoken this morning and maybe change our perspective, that we can hear you crying out to us. You're drawing us to yourself. Just as you know the stars in the sky, you know each of us by name. And draw and long just to come and to be with us and to know us to fellowship. The invitation is there. You call us. Father, bless our fellowship afterwards today. As we go into this week, Lord, we communicate to the rest of the world that we are different. We communicate the importance that you have in our life. Father, let us be salt and light. We give you the thanks and the praise, and we ask in your name. And everybody said, God bless you this morning.